Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on sea energy agriculture right after this. You know, when people call the law school, they oftentimes ask how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air. Now, keep in mind that most of these topics that you hear on the radio, I teach in detail in one of my classes here at the law school. Now, for example, when you hear me talking about the common law, it was Alfred the Great who codified the common law back in 872 A.D. He codified it into 49 principles of law, or statutes, of which 22 are incorporated into our federal Constitution and Bill of Rights. Now, the common law was taken from the Mosaic law given to Moses at Mount Sinai, and it was recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8, and it includes negligence, insurance, and taxes, such as income, property, and Social Security taxes. Now, these IRS taxes that we see today, these tax laws, are a counterfeit of the tithing laws of Scripture, and they work a theft on everyone that participates in them. Now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us a better way of life than income tax and Social Security. And that's the basis of my tax and status school. You know, we owe this income tax and this Social Security tax because we've contracted into it. Have you ever thought about maybe contracting out of it? Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status, why don't you write for our free general law CD package? Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and click on to our archives page. That's georgegordon.org, and then click onto the archives page and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, georgegordon.org. All right, we are reviewing a book called Sea Energy Agriculture. It's a book written by a fellow named Maynard Murray. We found out that Dr. Murray, a medical doctor, did extensive experiments for more than 40 years during the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And we've discovered so far that the animals in the oceans have no chronic diseases, and the animals that live on land around the world all have chronic disease. And the question that Dr. Murray wanted to quantify was, why is that? And the answer is that all of the minerals that we need for life are concentrated in the ocean waters, and they're leached out of the soil. So when we are growing plants on soil, we find that there's a shortage of some mineral. Now, here in the Midwest, we have a perennial shortage of iodine in the soil. When there's a shortage of iodine, you develop a thing called goiter. We used to call that Adam's apple. To eliminate that, we started putting iodine in our salt. So you have a product called iodized salt, and it has virtually eliminated the goiter problem here in the United States. Now, before we put the iodine in the salt, goiter was pretty common, especially here in the Midwest. There's a connecting link. There's a chronic disease, a chronic ailment, caused by the deficiency of just one of 92 minerals. So that mineral is not in short supply in seawater. It's there in the same quantity worldwide as a percentage as it ought to be here on the land if we wanted to eliminate goiter. Put another way, none of the sea creatures have goiter. How's that? Now, the only type of life on the planet that can deal with inorganic minerals are plants, green chlorophyll plants. And in fact, they are designed with specificity to take inorganic chemicals, add a carbon atom, and turn the inorganic chemical into an organic chemical. Now, we living, breathing plants and animals, well, the living, breathing animals, can only assimilate organic chemicals, and the plants can only assimilate inorganic chemicals. We saw that here in Chapter 1. Now, with that little bit of information, going into the balance of Chapter 1, listen to this. Now, we have learned to utilize some of the unique feeding habits of microbes in commercial enterprises, such as fermentation. The microbes performing these specific tasks do so because they have developed specialized tastes and metabolic reactions to the materials that they ingest. Their eating habits sometimes transform a particular material into a different structure, giving it bouquet, hardiness, or softness. Now, let me interject here and point out that bees, an insect, do the same thing. And when you're eating honey, you're actually eating bee vomit. How do you like that? Bee vomit. They ingest the various materials from the pollens and nectars and so on, and then it ferments in their stomachs, and then they vomit that up in the form of honey, which is the food that they use to feed their babies, their offspring, and to feed themselves in the winter. All right, now, there's an example of it. Microbes, insects, and other life forms make food for us higher up the food chain. Fermentation is simply one of those processes. In other words, fermentation is really the rotting or the degenerative or degeneration process. Now, the affinity that some microbes display for specific body parts within humans is truly amazing. And we must conclude that a certain section of body tissue produces or harbors the particular food element that a particular microbe deems necessary for existence. These microbes search out this food from many available sources with apparent relish. For example, the bacterium which causes diphtheria produces a toxin which attacks the myocardium, or middle layer of heart tissue. Now, actinomycosis is caused by a fungus showing a strong preference for the lymph glands of the neck. Streptomycin is an antibiotic derived from a fungus which attacks the tiny balance mechanism in our ear. And yet it ignores the cochlea, which is the hearing cells within the same structure. On the other hand, dehydrostreptomycin attacks the cochlea and leaves the associated tissue in the ear alone. The virus strain causing rabies has a special affinity for nerve tissue in the central nervous system. Dermophosis is caused by a fungus attacking skin tissue, and curiously enough, it prefers the skin of the thighs and feet. Subacute bacterial endocarditis is the medical term for a disease affecting the inner layer of heart tissue caused by the eating habit of the Streptococcus viridans, a bacterium. And the list goes on and on. Now, one of the reasons that medical science is so fascinating is this study of microbiology. Selective eating habits of microbes is part and parcel of nature's progressive and balanced feeding system. It is fundamental biological law, and it is a principle that must be appreciated if we are to seriously tackle this problem of aging and disease. And here is where I want to digress for a moment to make another unpopular medical assertion. I am fully convinced that all disease stems from a weakening of the organism and the subsequent parasitic infection. There is a growing school of thought that attributes the cause of disease to psychological upsets or emotional stress. There is abundant thinking that mental illness is a non-physical disease. But I'm convinced that these psychological tenets are now being accepted simply because there's no apparent biological cause which can be found. But in truth, no human who is consulting a physician for treatment is free of parasitic microbiotic life. Emotional stresses may complicate matters, and they may even appear to be the cause of the malady. But first and foremost, that body has been inhabited by a host of microbes producing toxins and degenerating cells. The problem is to understand infection, its exhibitions, its shape, forms, manner, presentation, reactions, and insidiousness. Now, when we get to the point where this is fully understood by the diagnostician, the tendency to resort to ambiguous and psychological diagnoses will be greatly reduced. All of the organs, the brain included, are affected by microbic life, and the key to controlling disease, in my studied opinion, is a healthy and optimum functioning conglomerate of cell groups, which is possible only through optimum nutrition. Let me pause here, put my famous arrow in the margin. Now let's go back to the animals in the ocean. When we take a look at animals like the great white shark, that's a big one, whales, etc., we find that they don't have heart disease. The diseases that we see in animals on land, not just man, but animals, diabetes and etc., do not occur in the oceans. None. Zero. Zilch. We've been looking long and hard, and we can't find a disease in the animals that live in the ocean. Now, we have plenty of animal diseases here on land. When we have cattle, sheep, pigs, goats, etc., chickens, and so on, we have diseases that get into these animals, and then we fight them with our famous drugs and processes and antibiotics and so on down the line. And we give ourselves great credit with treating chickens with antibiotics to eliminate coccidiosis. Now, it doesn't seem to occur to very many of us outside the commercial realm that perhaps, there's another answer to this riddle. In the commercial realm, that is, in the cattle, etc., we don't have the kind of money that it would take to give a cow daily shots of insulin to control her diabetes. So, instead of doing the insulin shot with cows, we give the cows a mineral block so that the cow's diet is minerally balanced and she doesn't develop diabetes. This is why we have salt blocks or mineral blocks. In so doing, we can eliminate these diseases, and when a disease comes up, the vet comes out. He gives her a shot of some kind of medicine to tide her over, all right, and then he wants to know, well, what kind of feed are we giving her? What is the protein content of the hay that this cow is eating? What kind of mineral balance does she have? And oftentimes they'll take a blood sample, come back and say, gee, this cow's short of boron, this cow's short of iron, this cow's short of something over here, which is why these symptoms are manifesting themselves. We never do this with human beings. Never. 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 We take blood tests. Oh, I don't deny it. Nobody ever takes a blood test and then comes back and says, oh, gee, you're deficient in these vitamins or minerals, so well, let's get back to balancing your diet. We do with livestock. We do with cattle and chickens, but we don't do that with humans. Dr. Murray is simply saying, hey, listen, let's wake up and smell the coffee. But he went a step further and he said, if the animals in the oceans don't have any disease, then why is that? Well, the answer that he's come up with is because all of the minerals are balanced in the seawater. So he comes to another giant leap forward and he says, why don't we take this seawater, which has all of the minerals in it, and put it on our land as fertilizer? So there are companies that actually do that. You can buy this stuff by the ton and you can apply it commercially. Or you can apply, you know, you can buy a ton of it or a few bags of it and you can put it in your garden. So the publication that you want to get hold of to do that is called Acres USA. And in Acres, which is a monthly publication, there are all kinds of advertisements in here that deal with organic agriculture. So if you're a homeowner and you want an organic garden, but you don't know where to get the organic seed, open pollinated seed, or you don't know where to get organic fertilizer, or you don't know where to buy organic corn or seed to plant, etc., it's Acres USA that you go to find those companies, to find those sources, to find those answers. Now, the price of Acres USA, I think, is about $32 a year. Let's see if I can find a number here for you. Acres USA. Is there a number here for the price? Well, I don't see it right here off the top of my head, but I think the last time I saw a number, I thought it was $32. Why don't you call them and ask them? Acres USA, if it costs you $30 a year, it's worth five times that. Easy. Don't be concerned about the price of it, because the price will pay itself off 50 times over by showing you where to go get the stuff that you need, or pricing the stuff that you need, which will save you from buying it down the street over here at Walmart or any place else local in small quantities. Acres USA is located at 1-800-355-5513. And that's their phone number. Again, that's 1-800-355-5513. Now, Acres USA is located at Post Office Box 91299, Austin, Texas, and the zip code is 78709. P.O. Box 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709. They've also got a web page. It's www.acresusa.com. Once more, that's www.acresusa, that's all one word, .com. All right, now with that out of the way, let me flip over here and show you an example. These sea minerals... There are companies out there that go out to the ocean, dehydrate the water, take the sea minerals, and then bag them up and then ship them out. Now, I don't want to make this a commercial because we don't want to get involved in commerce here. But there is an outfit in here. I'll give you their webpage and their phone number. It's called www.seagri.com. And they've got a phone number. It's 770-361-7003. Now, it's a commercial operation, and they sell bags or truckloads of these sea mineral solids that Dr. Murray pioneered in back in the 1930s and 40s. And that's what this book, this little, it's, I'm going to call it more of a pamphlet. It's not really a full-length book, but it's about 109 pages total. Seven chapters that deal with his research and findings. Fairly simple and straightforward. I was amazed at the simplicity of it. Now, in case you don't think that you can put salt on your land, sure, where do you think the salt in the ocean comes from? It comes from the land. And the minerals that are dissolved in the ocean come off of our land. It's being washed out. That's what it is. And as an example, here in the Midwest, the iodine is made by the plant roots. Let me give you a little story here. The plant's roots give off an acid. And I can't think of the name of the acid right now, but there's an acid that it gives off. And it actually dissolves the rocks. The inorganic mineral rock contains all of these 92 essential elements. Trace elements of gold and silver and lead and magnesium and so on, and iron and copper. They're all there in the rock. And this acid dissolves it out. Then the plant, using photosynthesis, sucks up those trace elements. And then the plant adds a carbon atom to it and turns that inorganic copper into organic copper, which is what you and I need. So then we pull the carrot, we eat the carrot, and we get the organic copper. That's what we're eating this carrot for. What's the purpose behind it? Now, the carrot top dies, or the waste that comes from human bodies, or the carrots and the plants that have converted this inorganic into organic, dies, and it's left in the soil. It can be picked up by next year's plants, or it can be created again by next year's crops. It doesn't have to be a food crop. It can be a weed that does this. Now, the rain comes, and it washes this copper, or this iron, or whatever it is in the soil, out. And it flows down to the creek, and then the creek into the river, and then down to the Mississippi River, and then down into the Gulf of Mexico. And then this is then put in solution into the ocean. Now, the creatures that live in the ocean are bathed in it. They drink it. They eat it. And they assimilate it, and they don't have the diseases. They don't have goiter. That's right. The whales don't have any goiter because they have plenty of iodine. The iodine was washed out of our soil in Iowa, down the Mississippi River, into the oceans. And so those creatures have all of the minerals that they need. Dr. Murray wakes up one day and says, well, gosh, is there some way that we could sort out the salt from the minerals? And the answer is, yep, there is. And that's what they're doing. Now, this outfit, again, they don't pay me to do this, and this is not a commercial, and it's not an ad for the C90 sea mineral solids. But there is an outfit here that's advertised, just one of other advertisers in this monthly magazine called Acres USA. And it's called seagri.com. Just www.seagri.com. Or you can call them at 770-361-7003. I've never talked to these people, don't know them from Adam. I'm just reading their ad. Now, the reason for this is to show you that Acres USA contains the information that I need, because I want to buy a few tons of this and I want to fertilize my land with it. And it's one of the cheapest, best, easiest modalities for accomplishing that goal. And Dr. Murray did a great service for all of us by researching this out. I spent 40 years. And then he died about 1984, and he'd written this book. Acres USA picked up on it, and they said, hey, let's publish this, and let's share this information with other people out there. Now, you're going to ask, well, how come the great chemical companies don't do this? They're not in the business of fertilizing land. They're in the business of selling fertilizer, which comes from petrochemical fertilizers. So, you know, the big oil companies, they want to sell you fertilizer, but, you know, they want to sell you their fertilizer that comes from their oil, their petrochemical sources. Now, they don't contain any of these trace elements, and they don't need to. The big fertilizer companies aren't selling trace elements. They're selling fertilizer, NKP. And they do a great job of that. I don't deny it. But these trace elements over here are the things that cause the goiter. And you can put all the NKP from OrthoGrow on your ground that you can buy, and it isn't going to put any more iodine in your soil, and it isn't going to cure any goiter anywhere. So if you want that, you're going to have to buy that separately, and this is just a source of it. But better than just this one ad is a subscription to the magazine itself. I get it every month. It comes here from Acres, and then I pull articles out of it and tell stories about it. Now, Acres also has a book section, and they sell books which are dedicated to teaching people organic agriculture. So if you've been wondering where organics comes from, and how to find organic source books and information concerning organic farming and so on, well, it's Acres USA. That's the source. They're the ones that advertise it, promote it, and put the information out there. And that's, you know, a guy like me, I just come along and say, well, now let me tell you what I found out. This is where you can go get the information. And that's where I'm giving you this ad here. This is just one of many. Give them a call and say, well, how much for a truckload if you're a commercial operator, or how much for 50 bags or whatever you think you might need? And put this into your garden, into your soil, so that all of the elements will be in your garden soil, so that when your plants, that's when your carrots and peas and beans and squash are growing, they're pulling all of those nutrients out of the soil, putting them into the plant for you to prevent you from getting goiter or scurvy or some other disease, of which we now have 450 in the physician's desk reference. Now, Dr. Murray goes on, he says, my digression continues because it's so very important that we all understand some of the things that are happening in the professional world of medicine. Recent outbreaks of staphylococcal epidemics in hospitals throughout our country, and the various waves of influenza viruses that sweep across our land every year, stress the constant menace of infection by microbes. These illustrate the massive power which microbes possess, though this is a power that must not be underrated. A laxness has developed in the minds of many physicians and laymen. The medical profession has created a sense of security based upon an illusion that wonder drugs and antibiotics can solve everything. Unfortunately, despite drug industry propaganda, these new medicines are fraught with shortcomings, and the long-term effects may prove them to be more harmful than beneficial. It may be said that I'm just an old country doctor. Well, fair enough, but I share the view of Dr. Haskell Weinstein and Dr. Maxwell Finland, who are eminently more than mere country doctors. Dr. Finland and his colleagues examined Boston Hospital records, discovered that over a period of 24 years, in order to emulate the long-term results of Wonder Drug Therapy, they learned that Wonder Drugs had reduced the death rate from infection caused by pneumonia and streptococci, but that there had been an increase in deaths due to infection from bacteria, which were previously considered harmless. Reliance on these antibiotics to combat infectious disease is to live in a fool's paradise, noted Dr. Finland. Now, my years of experience, both as a practicing physician and as a researcher, have convinced me that health versus disease is based upon the story of eating and killing, a tale of growth and cell building by the ingestion of elements taken from other creatures. This must be so because it is the story of life and the story of disease, decay, and death. Shakespeare broached the subject a half century prior to the invention of the microscope and fully 200 years before Pasteur when he wrote, "Your worm is your only emperor for your diet. We fat all creatures else to fat us, and we fat ourselves for maggots." So goes the eat and be eaten world in which we live. And if we wish to live well and long, we must concentrate with the utmost seriousness upon proper nutrition of necessity. This attention starts with nutrients, and these nutrients are balanced in the sea. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here, if I can find my paper. At the halfway point here, that you are listening to the Law Hour, and editorial review were sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. For your listening convenience, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on the archives page and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or the publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a book. I call this a 1 in 100 read. You will go a long ways before you're going to find another piece of information like this one. I'm going to review it. I'm not going to cover all the information that's in it. That was chapter 1. Now, the reason that I think that this book is the 1 in 100 that I'm looking for here is because, as a farmer myself, I'm always looking for the panacea. And when we go to fertilize, I have to buy all of these fertilizers. I can't find one fertilizer that contains it all until I read this book and I said, oh my God, look at this. If in fact, and this is what Dr. Murray has uncovered here, he says, if in fact all of the minerals are in seawater, and if we could take the seawater and evaporate the water off, and now we've got the sea salts, then if we could extract the sodium chloride out of it, we would have all of the minerals to put on the ground. And can we do that for an economy? Is there an economy of scale here that we can afford to do that? And the answer is yes. I don't have to buy 92 elements and go put on 92 different elements. I can just put on one application. That's what I was looking for. And here it is. Now, these are inorganic sea mineral solids suspended in the sea water, which is exactly what the chlorophyll-bearing plants have to have to plant their one molecule of carbon on in order to turn it into organic minerals. It's what we need. It's what they need. It's there in solution in the seawater. It's everywhere in the world. It's been there for thousands of years. And then this guy, you know, in his simplicity, I guess I would say, said, gee, I wonder where or why. And I suppose he read a book somewhere and they said, hey, there's no chronic disease in animals that live in the ocean. And I imagine as a medical doctor, he said, why is that? So he started researching that and said, well, gee, they've got all the minerals. Now, if you take a look in the physician's desk reference, oftentimes it'll tell you that it's a mineral deficiency. Now, in this book, there's a second book for you to write down. I don't have all the information here, but you can find this on the internet. There's a book called Rare Earths, and there's a guy by the name of Joel, J-O-E-L, Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H, Wallach, a veterinarian. He's a medical doctor in addition to that. And his wife is a medical doctor. He's also a naturopath, and I think she is too. I'm not quite sure about that, but both of them pretty well versed, you know, in health and animal health and humans and one thing and another. And they sat down, wrote a book, and they said essentially the same thing, that the reason you get sick is because you've got mineral deficiencies. You're not suffering from French fry deficiency. You are suffering from mineral deficiency. The French fries that you're eating out of the hamburger stand don't have these minerals in it. The sodium chloride that you're putting on those French fries, even though it may say that it is derived from the ocean. Okay, now here's the way this game is played. The Morton Salt Company and Leslie, the two big ones here in the United States, they've got these great big salt pools in San Francisco Bay. And they open the dike when high tide is in, and they let the water come in, and then they close up the dike. And then they let that water sit there for about 4, 5, 6 years, and over time it evaporates out, and it just leaves a film on the mudflat. They come in with big harvesters, and they harvest all of these sea salts, and then they take them over and they divide them up, and they take out the sea mineral solids and separate it from the sodium chloride. Then they sell those sea mineral solids to the feed companies to feed to our livestock, and they take the sodium chloride, which is now pure poison, and they put that in red and blue boxes and sell it to you so that you can put it on your French fries. So when you're using that salt, you get zero minerals. Zero. Well, I guess I shouldn't say zero. There might be a molecule or two of actual nutritional value in there, but it's by accident. If there was any way they could have got it all out, they would have got it all out and sold it to the feed industry. And then they feed you the sodium chloride. Now, when it comes to salt, I buy salt from that they call the Celtic sea salt of the North Atlantic. Sometimes it comes from Portugal. That's kind of south, but most of it's coming from up north, from the Danes and the Swedes. And there's some of it that comes out of France, and it costs $22 a pound. You buy it in the health food stores, and this is the same stuff that you can buy here, and put it on your fields. Isn't that just special? Well, without the sodium chloride. Now, you don't want to eat this stuff per se, because remember, your body can't assimilate this inorganic nearly as well as it can organic. Although it can. Here's the way that works. Let's suppose that you're walking by your dining room table, and Joel Wallach, he said, here's the way you need to solve this problem. You go down to the feed store and you buy yourself an animal feed block. They weigh 50 pounds. And the ones that I buy are the red ones. Then you put that on the dining room table. And then everybody, when they come through the dining room, they just lean over and they lick on it as they walk through. And in that way, you and your family can get the same mineral nutrients that we feed to our cattle to keep them from getting diabetes, heart attack, and stroke. Now, remember, the problem with that is that the minerals contained therein are inorganic, but down in your gut, you have microbes working. And while those microbes aren't nearly as good as chlorophyll plants, some of those microbes can actually change that inorganic into organic, and you can get nutritive value by taking those in, like these Celtic sea salt pits, where they make Celtic sea salt and sell it for $22 a pound. Now, keep in mind for the rest of you people around the world that salt in this country sells for about 60 cents a pound. 60 cents. That's less than a dollar. 6/10 of a dollar. Now, that's for the sodium chloride, which is devoid of all of the sea mineral solids. That, remember, has been taken out by the big corporations and sold elsewhere for more money. Then they sell the sodium chloride that has no nutritive value whatsoever and actually becomes a poison. At that point in time, they sell that to us to put on our French fries down at McDonald's. Then we eat this, and we believe that we're getting nutrients, when in reality we aren't. Now, we're getting good-tasting food. There's nothing bad-tasting that comes out of McDonald's. I've never said that McDonald's ever produced anything that tasted bad. I just said McDonald's never produced anything with any nutritive value in it. And if there is any nutritive value in it, it's there by accident, not by design. It's just an accident that it happened to be there. That's not their business. Selling nutrition is not McDonald's business. Selling good taste is their business. Boy, are they good. Really good. In fact, the American food industry is so good at selling good taste. Just take a look at the average American, and you can see how fat we are, how much we like their food, and how much of it we eat. And that's a no-brainer. All right, now with that much in mind, let's turn over to Chapter 6, where we talk about recycling the sea for better human health. Now, finding the solution to the health and aging problems which beset man has always been one of life's great challenges. And curiously, some of man's most highly developed technological civilizations failed miserably in this quest as we are failing today, while certain primitive groups in isolated locations enjoy excellent health and unsurpassed longevity records. Even if man never suffered from disease, the mysterious process of aging would constitute more than sufficient challenge to science. Man has fought to preserve the vigor of youth against the ravages of age since thinking began. History tells us that Ponce de Leon sailed across the Atlantic in search of the fabled Fountain of Youth. How ironic that he was floating on the surface of the only realistic means of staying young and healthy, and that was the ocean, which is, in fact, the Fountain of Youth. Let me pause right here. There's a little section here in this book. I don't know if I'm going to get to it, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. If you take the cells of Dolly, the cloned sheep, and then you clone them, and then you take them over here and you put them with the offspring, you'll find that the offspring and Dolly show the same age. So let's suppose we've got a sheep, and the sheep is 6 years old. We take some cells, clone them. The offspring, which is now a newborn lamb, take some cells out of that one, compare them, and they're 6 years old. So when you take an older sheep and clone it, let's say it's a 3-year-old sheep, and you clone it, you get a 3-year-old offspring. Now, when you do that with a whale, you can take a whale that's 40, 50 years old and take cells out of it, and then you can take the cells out of a calf from that whale. And there's no distinction between the 40-year-old cell and the new live cell from the calf. That's what really piqued Dr. Murray's curiosity. He says, oh my God, the aging process in the oceans is such that the actual quality, the health of the cell of an old animal and the new animal are the same. Now, whales die. It doesn't solve the death problem, and I'm not sure that Dr. Murray is on to anything spectacular here when it comes to longevity, but listen to this. The scientists went over years ago, now this is 50-year-old technology or history, it's not anything brand new, but they went over to the Himalayas, and they discovered some people over there called Hunza people. And they took a look at their people, and they found out they didn't have any tooth decay. And they didn't have any heart disease. They didn't have any cancer. And these people lived pretty simply. They ate raw food, and they drank water coming down the rivers off of the glaciers. This glacier water had a milky color to it, and they call it glacier milk. So they took some samples so they could go back to their laboratories, you know, in the big universities, and they discovered that this glacial milk is made up of minerals. It's made up of inorganic minerals, you know, like copper, manganese, iron, and so on. And they put two and two together, and they said, now, if we take a look at the water that we drink in America, it too is fortified with minerals. We call them chlorine and fluoride. But chlorine and fluoride do not prevent tooth decay. They don't prevent heart attack and stroke and diabetes, etc., as is evidenced by the millions of gallons that Americans drink and the millions of Americans that die from these diseases. So then they compared that with the Hunzas. Now, these people, they don't have any fluoride. They don't have any any other chemicals in their water. They're just drinking this stuff straight off the glaciers. And they discovered that these people over here lived to be 100 years old. Not 275 now, or 300, or have eternal life, just, 100 years old. It isn't common. These people don't have 100-year average lifespans, but they have a higher proportion of 100-year-old people than any place else in the world, save for a couple, three others. They found another band of people down in the Andes Mountains, kind of the same thing, drinking that glacial milk off of the Andes glaciers. And there's a couple, three other sources around the world, or people around the world, that they discovered, hey, these people live longer than ordinary. And so a question arises in the minds of medical science, well then, why is that? And the answer that they've concluded is that these people have a higher ratio or a higher proportion of mineral in their diet. Now on the atomic chart, there's 92 of these minerals. Now it just so happens that there, you don't need 92 of these minerals, you need 60. And then there's about 25 of the vitamins. Might not be 25, I think there's vitamin B17, might only be around 17. And then there's about 8 or 10 or 12 amino acids. And in his book, this is Joel Wallach now, he pointed out the 92 elements, 92 nutrients that you have to have in order to have good health. So if you want to tie into Dr. Wallach, that book again is called Rare Earths. And the guy that wrote it, his name is Dr. Joel, J-O-E-L, Wallach. Probably get it at Barnes & Noble, be my guess, Amazon or somebody like that. All right, now if you're following along here with the treatise, in the oceans, when the animals that have all of the minerals that they need, and they don't have chronic disease and their cells aren't aged like animals on land. All right, now that's a pretty phenomenal little piece of scientific information. He goes on to say, the waters of the oceans hold the perfect balance of those essential elements required as food for the complex cell groups that make up our bodies. This is my thesis. Now, let's take a look at the proof. When I was going to school at the University of Cincinnati in 1932, I attempted to induce cancer into a toad. But I was astonished to note that this amphibian seemed to have a natural immunity to cancer. This laboratory incident precipitated the beginning of a lifelong search for an explanation. In 1966, I fed crops grown with recycled seawater to various farm animals, and I obtained remarkable health and growth results, which confirmed my theory. So as I write these lines, I am earnestly trying to get stubborn establishment thinking to wake up to the very real dangers facing mankind and life on this planet. Disease and famine pose very real threats, not just to parts of the world that seem distant and unreal to us here in America, but to our very own bustling civilization. I'm going to put my famous arrow in the margin, and I'm going to explain to you why it is that you will never find Monsanto, Cargill, Archer Daniels Midland, Exxon, BP, or any of the big oil companies who are ever going to put nutrients into their chemical fertilizers. And it has to do with profitability. It's just simple economics 101. For instance, the people who have coal-fired power plants do not want green energy. It isn't that they necessarily hate human beings, but they're in the business of selling electricity, and they're in the business of selling coal-fired electricity. and they do not want any competition. So they go to the halls of Congress and they spend lots of money paying their congressmen not to allow competition to enter the commercial marketplace. All right? Now, the people who sell fertilizer are very happy with selling the commercial fertilizer that they're selling. They don't want any other competition coming around. They don't really care whether their fertilizer has inorganic sea salts in it or not. If it did, they would sell it. But it happens that this fertilizer that comes out of oil wells doesn't have any inorganic sea salts in it. And they're not going to go out of their way to lower the profit margin on the product that they're already successfully selling to put it in. I mean, come on, let's wake up and smell the coffee. The farmers who buy this commercial fertilizer couldn't care less whether or not the corn, soybeans, or cotton that they're selling has any of these nutrients in it or not, because farmers don't get paid based upon the nutrient content of the crops that they're selling. They get paid by the ton. They get paid by the bushel. They get paid by the pound. They don't get paid for the quality. They get paid for the product. Now, that being the case, if you are concerned about the nutritive quality of your food, then it's up to you to buy the fertilizer that's going to put it in that food. And that's sea salt, is one. It's not the only. I've been doing it for years, the long, hard way. I'm trying to tell you about an easier, faster, more expedient modality. All of these sea salts, all of these minerals are already in sea salt. They're already in the sea. And now what we have to do is to take it out. And people have been doing that for a long time, and there's commercial operators out there doing that, just like Leslie and Morton Salt Companies. Now, the trick then is for you and I to get hooked up with that source so that we can bypass and then ultimately feed into our gardens, into our fields, this easy and cheap and better modality for fertilizing and then putting the nutrients into the crops and the plants and the livestock and the animals that we're ultimately selling or we're ultimately eating and consuming. Now, that's the purpose for this series of programs. Now, let me tell you where to get this again. It's called Acres USA. First of all, you want the magazine Acres USA, which gives you the source material for all that I'm telling you. And that's the telephone number is 1-800-355-5513. Get that down again. It's 1-800-355-5513. Or go to www.acresusa.com. Simple enough, isn't it? www.acresusa.com. That's all one word, Acres USA. Now, there are lots of ads in the paper. This paper is about 100 pages, comes out once a month, and it'll have 80, 90, 100 pages to it. And there's a lot of advertisements, and one of the ads that I gave you here in this program came from one of their advertisers. You can actually buy this stuff commercially. All right, with that in mind, I'm out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.